This is part two of hearing God's voice. And again, today we're going to practice afterwards. I know you guys had a good time last week doing that. And so we'll continue on. You know, I tell you, this material, actually, if you really want to get down and read just a really incredible book, Is That You Really God by Lauren Cunningham. And this message basically is almost straight out of the book. You know, I can't do better than what he already wrote down. Right. And so but I actually started reading the book again this week, and I was just very challenged again. You know, I the first time I read it was just ages ago, you know, and so I really felt like I should pick it up again and read. And so I really want to encourage you, I actually have a few copies at home. If you want, I can bring it to church next week and you can borrow from me. You know, a part of hearing God's voice. Well, let's pray first. Huh? Let's ask God to help us. Father, we thank you. So much, Lord, for your heart to speak to us, God. We thank you, God, for your willingness, Lord, and your desire, God, to come and speak to your people. God, we're just your sheep, God, and we want to be led by you, Lord, and the things that we do and the decisions that we make, God. But daily, God, in the midst of our quiet times, God, our walking with you, God, we desire to hear your voice, and we pray that you'd speak to us today, God, Lord, how we can cultivate, God, a deep, profound relationship with you. Lord, we ask right now, God, that you release the revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit in this room. Lord, give us ears to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit is saying to this church, to each one of us today. God, we thank you so much, God. Just watch over this word, Lord, and in Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's turn to John. We read this last week. John chapter 10, verse 27. If you need a Bible, just please lift your hand in the air real briefly, and we'll grab one for you. John 10, 27. It says, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. Right? You know, when we talk about hearing God's voice, you're talking about these, it's so important for us to recognize the relationship that's required. You know, it is so important for us to walk in and really have an abiding relationship with Christ. See, you know, Andrew Murray, he said this. He said, for guidance to be effective, it must be perpetual. Right? For guidance to be effective, it must be perpetual. What he means by this is that you can't just have a crisis in your life and say, oh, God, speak to me, you know, and yet not have a relationship with him. It just doesn't make sense. You know, and it actually, what it does, it makes God out to be some kind of cosmic bellboy, you know, that we just ring him when we need something. But see, God doesn't want to be, he doesn't want to be our bell. He wants to be our friend. He wants us to be in relationship with him. And so guidance and hearing God's voice and all these things that we're talking about a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're talking about walking with God in such a way that as you walk with him, you hear. You know, you understand what's on his heart. You understand what's going on. Just like if you were to build any relationship with someone else around you, a friend or whatnot, right? It's this communication, right? And it's not just you talking to that person. It's also that person talking to you. That's what we call communication. You know, like I shared last week, sometimes most of our prayer life is not really communication. It's just us talking to God, right? It's just us telling God what we need, what we want, you know, what he can do for our lives. But true communication is two-way. It's us talking to God. It's God talking to us. You know, it's God listening and it's us listening, right? This is communication, right? This is what this whole thing is all about, right? Relationship with the Lord and Savior is the most important reason for hearing the voice of the Lord. If you're wanting to hear God's voice for just guidance, you miss the boat. If you're just wanting to hear God's voice just for this answer, you're missing the boat, right? We want to hear God's voice because he's our friend. We want to hear God's voice, right? Because that's how you build a relationship. You know, and so this has to be the center of your thoughts. See, God is not just an infinite, you know, not only infinite person, right? But God is also very, very personal. You know, and I'll tell you the times that God's really revealed himself to me, You know, the times that have really, really touched me was when I recognized that it was very, very personal. You know, I may have shared this story, but it doesn't matter. I'll share it again. By the way, I'm running out of illustrations, man, so you guys got to help me out, right? You send me some stories or do something. You know, I'm just like the same ones over. You know, but back in 92, you know, years ago, actually when I was in Hong Kong, and I ended up staying that summer, you know, just before the team was about to leave, and our team was actually going to go to Hawaii for their debrief and then go back to the States. And I really wanted to go to Hawaii, right? I'd never been there before, and I heard it was very beautiful. But I felt God lead me and ask me to stay in Hong Kong that summer, you know. And it was the night before the team left, and we're in the patio. I don't know, you guys probably remember this. We're upstairs in the roof of Karen's apartment, right, out in Sha Tin, right, New Territories. And our team was going around sharing why we were going to stay or what our trip was and everything. It was my turn to share, and I just shared with them what happened to me. And for me, it was really simple. You know, one night I had a really simple dream, and in this dream I went back home. You know, in fact, I didn't stay in Hong Kong. I just went home. I went to my girlfriend's house. I got into my girlfriend's house, and there's a huge banner up in the front. It says, "Welcome home, Sam, the missionary." You know, and so I walked in, and everyone was really happy to see me, and I felt really proud, and, you know, blah, 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 and all these things happened. And then I went outside, and I felt this, like, emptiness in my heart. You know, and I remember I was on the street, and I was talking with God, and I was saying, "God, I really blew it, didn't I? You know, you gave me this incredible opportunity to remain in Hong Kong," and I chickened out, and I went home. And God was up there, and we were having this conversation, and God said, "Yep, you blew it." You know, I said, "Oh," and then I woke up, you know, and I was actually sleeping in this youth hostel in Yamate, you know, and I woke up and, you know, all my smelly teammates around me, and I knew, okay, God, I'm going to stay here. But see, the way my brain works, right, I'm very rational, and so I tend to overthink situations a lot. And so, you know, after that dream happened, I'm sitting on the roof, and I'm trying to tell my teammates to just tell me that I was totally off. You know, I think, you know, I was expecting someone to say, "Sam, let's just go to Hawaii. Let's just go home. I think that dream is ridiculous." You know, and so, but none of my teammates said anything like that. And then we got to the part, so I was really doubting this thing, and I was thinking, "Oh, I don't know if I should just go home." You know, I was really struggling, really wrestling. One of the other girls, and she was actually spent that summer in Hong Kong as well, the same time as I did. And in the beginning of the summer, the dream happened to me later this summer. Beginning of the summer, God spoke to her. Her name was Dana. And God gave her a dream. You know what happened in her dream? That's what she said. She went home, and she went to her boyfriend's house. You know, they had a big party for her, blah, blah, blah. You know, and then she went outside, and she felt very empty, and God spoke to her. Same exact dream. You know, and I was sitting there, because I was kind of like the second person to share. She was almost the last person to share. And then when she shared, I was like, wow, the same exact dream. You know, and so I had confirmation, I knew. Now, the whole reason that story, what really drove home for me is to understand how personal God was. See, this is how God works. God knows me, right? He knows all about me. He knows exactly how my brain works. God knows that something great, profound, spiritual can happen to me, but because I'm such a knucklehead, right, after I get over the exuberance of something good happening, what am I going to do? I'm going to start doubting right away. And that's generally how I don't really struggle with that anymore, right? Because now I've got something called faith, you know, and stuff. But before, when I didn't have faith, I just operated in doubt. I just doubted, "God, you don't really do that. You know, I mean, you don't really love me that much, you know, and surely you're not so acquainted with my life in that way, you know." And I recognize God knows exactly how my brain works. Not only does he know how my brain works, he knows that in that moment of doubt, he needs to bring confirmation in my life, or else I'm going to be, you know, riding on the sea of doubt, you know, for the rest of the summer. And God brought that. He did that time and time and time again in my life. You know, and so God is very, very personal. Check this out. God knows you. He knows you. He knows you so well. He knows you better than you know yourself because he created you. He knows exactly how your brain works. You know, he knows all the screws aren't tight in some places and the bolts are out of whack and in other places. But he knows he made you that way. You know, and he knows exactly how to come in and speak truth into your life, you know, that will really build a home in your heart, a real confirmation, you know, within us. You know, and talking to many of you, you know, you've expressed that. You didn't know that's what you were expressing, but that's what you were expressing. You're expressing that God really knows me. God knows exactly how I think. And see, he brought this thing into my life to show me that this is really God. And see, God does that. He's very, very personal. And so when he speaks to us, you know, and when he reveals himself to us, it's going to be very, very personal. You know, and this is how God operates. You know, if when we talk about this personal relationship, going back again, if you don't have communication with him, guess what? You don't have a personal relationship with him, right? A personal relationship requires commitment, right? It requires communication, right? That's why we need to get into the Lord. We need to get into the Word. We need to get into prayer, right? We need to get into hearing his voice. You know, true guidance in our life is getting closer to the guide, right? True guidance in our life is about getting closer to the guide. You know, if you really think about it, it really doesn't matter where you're going. What really matters is with whom you're going with, right? You know, when you're walking with Jesus, you know, the destination is wherever Jesus is at. Right, I mean, that's where it's, you know, I remember when I was at a church service years ago, and what this guy said so resonated with my heart. You know, he said, it doesn't matter if I'm in Timbuktu, and I've never even heard of Timbuktu, you know, I still don't even know where Timbuktu is, you know, but he said, you know, if God's at Timbuktu, that's where I want to be at. You know, and I was just sitting there, and I was just contemplating a lot of choices in my life, and it just made sense. You know, it just made sense. I just want to be where God's at. You know, I want to be doing what God's doing. You know, and Jesus in his own way, he says, I want to be of the Father's business. That's what I want to put my business in. That's where I want to put my time in and what the Father's doing. What he's involving himself with, I want to get involved in those things. You know, I mean, this is really, you know, in a lot of ways, the key to spiritual living, the key to our Christian life. Find out what God loves and love it. Find out what God's doing and join him when he's doing. Find out what God hates and hate it. You know, I mean, you get yourself in these things, you're going to live an incredible spiritual Christian life. You know, and not just be blessed in spiritual things, but be blessed in material things as well. You're going to be living an incredible life. Find out what God loves and love it. Find out what God is doing and join him in what he's doing. Find out what God hates and hate it. And I mean, could it be any more simpler than that? You know, true guidance is getting close to the guy. You know, we grow to know the Lord better as he speaks to us, as we listen to him and we obey, and then we make his heart glad. You know, the Proverbs tells us a wise son makes a father's heart glad. Right? We have the incredible privilege of making the Father's heart glad as we listen to him, as we obey him. You know, last week, you know, I talked about four principles of hearing God's voice, right? They come out of Cunningham's book. Remember the first one? Do you guys remember the first one? What is it? Yeah, confess your sins, right? We confess, you know, things that we've done knowingly, unknowingly to the Lord, because that just opens us up, right, to hearing God's voice. What's the second one? What do we do after we confess? We submit, right? We submit our will. This is, you know, kind of in some way, probably the most difficult aspect of our life when it comes to hearing God's voice. Because what this is it's emptying your mind, right? It's getting rid of all those opinions all around you, you know, and it's just totally emptying. But now we're not Buddhists, right? We don't just sit there. This is not just meditation, because we don't just empty our minds for no reason. We empty our minds so God can fill us. Right, and that's what we call Christian meditation. Right, we don't just want to empty ourselves and be in nothingness. That doesn't mean anything. What we want to do is we want to empty our minds, empty our thoughts. I mean, God's given us a good mind, but his mind is better. So we empty those things, and then we allow the Holy Spirit to come and fill with his thoughts, with his agenda, with his mind. That's submit. And then after we have submitted, what do? We resist the devil. Right, because he'll come after us. Right, he'll bring counterfeit things, and we're going to talk about some of these things later on. You know, and he's going to come to deceive us. Right, he. The scripture says that he comes to us like an angel of light. You know, and so he looks good, but that's not God's best. It's just good. You know, and so we recognize that, you know, that there is a deceiver, and you got to understand there is a deceiver. You know, there was a pastor, my seminary friend told me this story. You know, there was a pastor of a church, and he had been having a real difficulty with his one elder. You know, and you know, of course, he loved this elder. He prayed for this elder. You know, but there was something. He just felt in his spirit there was something going on with this guy. And finally, one day, he decided he's going to confront this elder. And so he called him out, and you know, and they met at the church, and they're having a discussion. And he just kind of talked to him and says, "Hey, is there anything going on? You know, I really sense there's something." And finally, maybe the anointing of God was so strong on this pastor that he finally turned to the elder, and the elder turned back and he says, "Yeah, there is something going on. I'm actually a member of the Church of Satan, you know, and my job is to bring you down. I'm going to bring you down." You know what I mean? I mean, this is one of the elders at his church, right? You got to understand the Lord, you know, the enemy operates in deception. You know, and there's, I mean, there's people planted in churches that don't worry, they're not sitting next to you, right? And so don't freak out here. You know, as I looked through the room, I recognize most of you here, and so that's okay. But I mean, there are emissaries of darkness that have been implanted in the church to bring the church down. You know, I mean, he is living in act. He prowls around like a roaring lion seeking to devour. I mean, I could tell you story after story, but I don't want to get off the track here. You know, and so we need to understand that we need to resist the enemy because he's going to try to come and deceive you. You know, the greatest gift that you can operate in is to hear God's voice. You know what I mean? You know, can you imagine the fullness of your life? Can you imagine the decisions of your life and you have access to God's voice? Don't you think the enemy doesn't like that? Don't you think the enemy will try to do everything that he can to take you away from hearing God? Because when you start hearing God, your life comes in alignment before the Lord. Right? Isn't that true? You think the enemy is going to step back and say, okay, go ahead and do that, you know? Of course not. He's going to try all that he can to take you away from hearing his voice because he knows that God's voice is life. It's life to our very bones. You know, Jesus, remember in the temptation, he says, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's what he's saying. You know, I remember, you know, the message, you know, a great translation. He says that it takes more than bread to stay alive. It takes a stream of words that flow out of God's mouth. You know, and Jesus saying, look, you need more than bread and water. It's not just food that keeps you alive. What really keeps you alive is a steady stream of words that flow from God's mouth. That's what gives you life. The voice of God is life. Turn to your neighbor and say, hey, good looking. God's voice is life. Right? It takes more than bread to stay alive. A steady stream of words that flows out of God's mouth. We need to hear God's voice. Right? And then after you've submitted to God and after, you know, you've resisted the enemy, right? It says, you know, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. James chapter 4, that's the promise from the Lord. And then we recognize that after that's all done, what do? We just sit back and just expect God to speak to us. Why wouldn't God speak to you? I mean, are you so deformed spiritually? You know what I mean? Are you so mangled in your heart, you know, that God can't speak to you? No, he's going to speak to you. Just expect God to do that. You know, and watch, later on today, you guys are going to speak to many of you guys today, right? But I want to go on a couple of more principles here, right, that'll help us in hearing God's voice. Number one, this is what Cunningham calls the axe head principle. Turn to 2 Kings chapter 6. We'll read it, and then I'll explain it to you. 2 Kings chapter 6. We're going to read from 1 through 7. Now the sons... Oh, I'm sorry, I'll wait for you. I hate it when preachers don't wait, man, right? You're flipping through and you're trying to find the thing. Right? So I'm going to wait for you. You guys all there? Okay, 2 Kings chapter 6. Now the sons of the prophets said to Elisha, behold now, the place before you where we are living is too limited for us. Please let us go to the Jordan, and each of us take from there a beam, and let us make a place there for ourselves where we may live. And he said, go. Then one said, please be willing to go with your servants. And he answered, I shall go. And so he went with them, and when they came to the Jordan, they cut down trees. But as one of them was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried out and said, alas, my master, for it was borrowed. Then the man of God said, where did it fall? And when he showed him the place, he cut off a stick, threw it in there, and made the iron float. And he said, take it up for yourself. So he put out his hand and took it. This is a miracle, right? You know, metal doesn't float. You know, I learned this very tragically when I went jet skiing one day. You know, and you know, I went and my youth group kids bought me this beautiful Oakley blades. You know, I mean, just I look really cool in these glasses. You know, there's not a lot of glasses that I look cool in, but I look good in these glasses, right? In my own personal opinion, that is. And so, you know, I was jet skiing and I, you know, had someone behind me. And I don't know if you guys ever go jet skiing, but the whole idea is to knock the person over, you know, that's behind. And I tried doing that, and this girl was holding on to me so tight. It was my little cousin, that when I, you know, try to get her off, you know, we both flew off, and there's my glasses falling down into the middle of the lake, you know, and metal does not float, right? Just so you know, it just does not float, you know, and so here's this axe head, right? This guy's chucking wood, and all of a sudden the head comes off, it goes into the lake, and it falls to the ground, and this guy's worrying, says, oh no, you know, I borrowed this thing, you know, I need to have this, and the man of God, what an incredible miracle, man. I wish I could have seen this. He just takes a piece of wood, right, where the stick was, throws it in the water, and all of a sudden the axe head floats up to the top. That is a miracle, right? But the principle that we want to see here, it's not, you know, and you have to kind of get it, you know, is that when you've lost your way, go back, right, to where the first thing that God spoke, or I should say, go back to the last thing that God has spoken to you, right, and then get yourself back on track. This is the axe head principle, right? If you seem to have lost your way, go back to the last time you knew the sharp cutting edge of God's voice. Then obey. Then obey. Right? This is what I, you know, many times, you know, people ask me for advice in these things. This is what I say all the time. Don't make another move until you go back, right? Or don't stop doing the last thing God told you to do. This is an important principle for us. You know, you're trying to figure out guidance. You're trying to figure out what to take the next step, right? The best way to, before you take the next step, is make sure that you've been obeying the last step God has asked you to do, right? Whatever God has asked you to do, make sure that you're obeying, right? And the key question is, right, have you obeyed the last thing God told you to do? Have you obeyed the last thing that God told you to do? It's just like this axe head. This axe head is gone. You know, this guy's kind of lost his way. He's got to find it. And so the man of God says, go back to where you lost it, you know, and let's recover this thing. You know, sometimes, let's be really honest, God may not tell you the next step or the next direction because you have not yet obeyed the last direction that he's given to you. Now, I mean, that makes sense, doesn't it? And a lot of times, you know, you're thinking, okay, God, I want to, you know, leave me and stuff. And, you know, God's like, well, you didn't even do the last thing I asked you to do. You know, and so what you need to do is you need to take a step back, go back and obey, or keep doing the last thing that God has asked you to do, and do it well. Do it well. You know, and then God may give you a different direction. You know, this goes in line with a lot of people that are working, you know, and maybe we're not very satisfied with our job, and, you know, we're not really, so content and so fulfilled in what we're doing, and we're looking for something else. You know, headhunters have been calling us, and, you know, and we're trying to discern what's the next step. And, you know, and when people ask, I always say the same thing. Well, are you doing your current job with the best of your abilities? I mean, are you serving the Lord in your job by doing your very best? You know, or are you just going through the motions? You know, because you got to obey the last thing God told you to do. And invariably, most people would say, yeah, I believe that this is the job that God, you know, gave me. You know, maybe a few years ago, but this is the one he gave me. You know, and so I say, do your best in that, right? Follow this simple principle, you know, and then wait for God to lead you to the next step, right? Remember, this is the biblical principle. He who is faithful in a little thing, God will entrust us with much. Doesn't that make sense? Right? I mean, you're faithful in what God has given to you. It could be that little thing. And once you become faithful in that thing, God will entrust you with much. Right? And so the next step a lot of times comes back when you obey the last thing that God asked you to do. Right? It's very simple, the axe head principle. Right? Number two, very important for us to get your own leading. Right? Get your own leading. Now, God will use others to confirm your guidance, but you should also hear from him directly, right? You know, actually in the book I was reading, it was a perfect example. Lauren is telling the story of when he was a little boy, and his father was an itinerant preacher, and he traveled all over the place. And his father actually was traveling at this one juncture, and he got horribly sick. You know, I think he got appendicitis, you know, but there was also something else that happened, and he was basically, they were just waiting for him to die. You know, and so, you know, and it was just really a real frantic time in their life. All of a sudden, a knock came on their door, and this man came and said, you know, I had a vision. You know, the Lord showed me something, and he showed me that your husband is going to come home in a coffin. You know, and I mean, can you imagine getting one of those kind of words, right? And the mother there, because she was a spiritual woman, she thanked the man for the word, you know, and said, nope, that's not from God. You know, and the simple way she responded is, well, that's pretty important decision for us. You know, that's a pretty important part of our life. I'm sure that God will speak to us ourselves. And she said, thank you, but no thank you, and shut the door, right? You know, and so, you know, you get a word like that, you know. I mean, if it's so important, you know, for you, I think God will speak to you personally. You know, I don't think, you know, such important things, I don't think God's going to go through another intermediary, you know, and things, you know, if it's so important, you know. And this is another principle, you have to hear from the Lord yourself, especially if it's such a huge decision in your life. Please, please, right, don't look to other people for, I mean, major decisions in your life. You know, I mean, you know, people can confirm, you know, and these things, and they can help in some ways. But when things are really important, God is going to speak to you himself. He will, right? God will speak to himself. This is really important for us to really understand. And you know, and Lauren's mom knew that completely. And she said it so clear. She says, you know, this is a very important thing for us, you know, and I'm sure God will speak to us, right? And God will speak to you. You know, he doesn't want you to enter into a guessing game about, you know, major decisions in your life. God will speak to you, right? Just be receptive to that voice. You know, be receptive in your way, right? Get your own leading. It would be incredibly dangerous to rely on others to get the word of the Lord for you. It really would be. You know, even, you know, we've had times at church and, you know, we've invited prophets to come and share with us. And, you know, you guys, you know, we bought the tapes, you know, and we made sure that everyone got a prophetic word from God and things. And remember, the teaching behind that is whatever is spoken through another person for your life is merely a confirmation of what already is going on inside of you. Because God will already speak to you. And now there may be a lot of different confirmation that may come around you. And that's great, you know, but God will speak to you. You know, and so you have to be aware of that. You know, I remember, you know, years ago when I was asked by this church, you know, to come and be their youth pastor, you know, and I didn't want to be a youth pastor. I didn't want to be a pastor at all, actually. You know, I thought God had better things for me, right? But yeah, here I am, you know, years later on, you know, and things. And trust me, I love what I'm doing, you know. And when I was there and I was really struggling with God, and I asked him, God, do you want me to do this thing? You know, and all I remember the Lord just saying, take a step of faith. You know, he didn't say yes or no, but he just said, take a step of faith. And so I made the decision that required the most faith. And so I took a step of faith. You know, and so that night, I actually, you know, that morning, I called the church. I said, okay, I'm going to take the job. And I don't know what it's going to entail. I've never done this before, but I'm going to take the job, right? And I was actually more amazed that they even wanted me more than I was going to take this job. And so I said yes, you know, and that night I went to church. And when I went to church that night, I was going to this little Bible study at the Newport Vineyard. And when I went to church, you know, the pastor there, and we just had a very, you know, slight, you know, a relation with each other. And during the ministry time, I was standing in a corner there, you know, and I was, you know, just kind of just, you know, worshiping the Lord. And he turns to me right in front of the whole church, and he says, Sam, God's speaking to me about you. You know, and he says, God's going to use you to teach. You know, God's going to really, you know, and da-da-da, and just on and on. And it was almost like every single doubt that I had in my mind about me becoming a youth pastor, he answered it right then and there. You know, and it was just confirmation. You know what I mean? And God will do that. God will bring confirmation, sometimes supernatural in that way, to really lead you and guide you. But you need to hear from the Lord, right? Don't rely on other people, right, to hear from God for you. You know, and, you know, I had one of the most, I'll be honest, I had the most brain-wrenching conversations with someone, You know, and this person had just signed a letter, you know, to some bank, but they basically wanted me to tell them that they made the right decision. You know, and for 30 minutes, I'm on the phone, right? And I started getting angry afterwards, right? You know, and it was like, make a decision yourself, man. You know, it was like, okay, you know, we go through this thing and the whole conversation, and yeah, you know, you got to really hear from God. You got to be in relationship, you know, you got to, and on and on and on. And then after like 10 minutes of me sharing all these things, he'd be like, so what do you think I should do? It's like, well, you know, I can tell you know, you got to really, God's going to speak, 10 minutes. He goes, okay, that's good, but okay, Pastor Sam, what do you want me to do? You know, again and again, I was like, you know, come on, don't look for other people. Look for other people for confirmation, but God will speak to you, right? I mean, let the Holy Spirit speak to you today. God, the Father of creation, will speak to you personally because you're a son and daughter, because he loves you, right? My sheep hear my voice and they follow. We're just sheep, right? As a child of God, you have the blessing of hearing the Lord's voice, and he'll speak to you. Don't doubt that, friends. I mean, really, don't doubt that. There's nothing so wrong with you that you can't hear his voice, right? Every one of us as children of God, we have access to that, right? So you get your own leading. If you want to study this further, just read 1 Kings 13. We're not going to read this whole thing, right? Number three, don't talk about your guidance until God gives you permission to do so, right? Don't talk about your guidance until God gives you permission to do so. Turn to Luke chapter 9. Luke 9, verse 36. Luke 9:36 says, and when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent, reported to no one in those days any of the things which they had seen. All right, there's something about that. Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes is in the Old Testament. It's after Proverbs. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Verse 7. All right, this is the famous, the time for everything. Verse 7 says, a time to tear apart, a time to sew together, a time to be silent, and a time to speak. It's very important for you, right? Don't talk about your guidance until God gives you permission to do so. Sometimes this happens immediately. Other times, there's a delay. Right, the main purpose of waiting is to avoid four pitfalls. Number one, to avoid pride. Pride because God has spoken to you. You know, a lot of times, you know, pride will creep in. Oh, I'm a super Christian. God spoke to me. You know, I'm the one who got the word, right? And you got to be very aware of the pride. Another thing that we need to be aware of is the issue of presumption. Presumption, right? By speaking before, we have full understanding. Pride, presumption. The third one, another pitfall that this avoids, is we could very well miss God's timing and miss God's method. And the last one, it could bring confusion to others. Right? Don't talk about your guidance until God gives you permission to do so. You know, years ago, I fell in love with this girl, right? Her name was Lisa. I was praying. And God spoke to I tell you, it was so clear. Sam, this is your wife. You know, and when I first met her, actually, I wasn't very attracted to her. You know, I mean, you get people saying, what are you talking about, right? But I really wasn't, you know. I mean, she's beautiful and all that, great person. But I'll be honest, when I first, I wasn't really, but all it was kind of this unveiling. And I was praying, you know, for my wife and whatnot. And God, he just spoke to me so clearly. He said, Sam, that's your wife. You know, and so I could have done like a lot of other stupid people do and walk up to her and say, God told me you're my wife. So let's get married. Right? That doesn't work. I don't know. I actually know only one person in my whole life that they did it and it worked. Right? But these are very rare people. You know, and I'm going to bring them out to Hong Kong one day. You're going to see how rare this kind of person is. Right? He's never. I have a friend that he was walking down. He was actually a student at Berkeley. He was a senior, or upperclassman, and she was a freshman. And he was walking down the street, and God spoke to him, "That's your wife." And so he went to her dorm that night, knocked on the door, and she opened the door and said, "God told me you're my wife. Let's get, you know, and stuff." And, you know, and they got married and stuff. They waited a few years. That's never happened. That's unprecedented, right? And so, but what God did tell me, and, you know, and I was really excited. I said, "Yes, finally, I found my wife." But see, it takes guidance to say when to share that. Do you know when I shared that? After, right, we got engaged. You know, after this whole thing happened. Because, you know, I'm not there for manipulation. You know what I mean? And stuff, and you'll be surprised how many people will manipulate you, right, thinking that they've heard from God. You know, I mean, it's amazing. You know, sometimes, and I'd like to think that, you know, that they didn't mean to do this, you know, but maybe they were just a little off in their guidance. But there are invariably people in your life that will manipulate you. You know, there was a girl in our fellowship, you know, and I was at our church, and she asked me out to coffee one day, and so, you know, I didn't. She was just a member of church. I was on the pastoral staff, and so, you know, I thought maybe she had some issues or something. So, yeah, I'll meet you out for coffee. It's a public place, you know, a big old Starbucks. And, you know, so we went out to coffee, and then she began to unravel this kind of harebrained scheme that she came up with, you know, and she told me, you know, surely from the Lord that you're going to be my husband. You know, can you imagine? I'm sitting there. Sitting there. Me? You? You know, and I mean, I heard these things happen before, but I never experienced in my own life. And she was dead convinced, you know, and I said, "Well, how did you come to this conviction?" You know, and she shared how, you know, one day that, you know, we're having a prayer session, you know, worshiping, and someone in the church kind of started manifesting. And so, you know, the pastor asked me to take her out and pray for her. And then the pastor asked this person to take, you know. And so both of us were, and she thought, yes, that's God speaking. Because we both went out and prayed for this person. And I'm thinking, what a crazy, you know. And so I told her, I said, you know, no, you really, this is not, I don't really think this is the Lord. You know, and so I said, you know, I think you should really pray some more, you know, and, you know, da da da, and on and on and on and stuff. And so 2 months passed, and she asked me to coffee again. I thought, okay, she's going to apologize to me. You know, thinking, oh, I'm so sorry for trying to manipulate you and these things. And she came back to me. You know, she said, nope, definitely. You're supposed to be my husband. You know, and this is what she said. I still remember this. She said, and if you don't marry me, your ministry is over. Right? You know what I did? Banged on the table, said, "Don't manipulate me, woman," right? Well, I left out the woman part, right? It just sounds better right now when I say that. But I said, "Hey," I said, "Don't manipulate me with this," you know. And you know what I did? I told the senior pastor, and I said, "You got to discipline her," and stuff. And he did, right? And so she went to another church, and stuff. But I mean, that's scary stuff, you know. People will manipulate. And I asked her, "How did you come to this conviction?" She went to some lady that supposedly hears from God, you know, and told her, "Yeah, you're on the right track," you know, kind of thing and stuff. And I was, oh, my goodness. You know, I mean, this will happen to you. You know, I guarantee, I mean, you know, and I'm sorry to say, it's sad to say, you know, but there may be times in your life where some people will try to manipulate you through the Lord. You know, don't buy that stuff, man. You know what I mean? God has given us this gift of discernment, and we can discern about when it's God and when it's not. You know, hopefully you can as you walk in relation with Him, right? You know, living in light, you can see darkness like that and stuff. And so, you know, just be aware of that. You know, and that's why it's so important for us, you know, that you, in our way, that don't talk about your guidance, right, until God gives you permission to do so. You know, I could very easily tell you I've ruined the whole thing with my wife. If I were to tell her right off the bat, you know, she would have thinking, "Well, you're crazy. You know, what are you talking about, man?" You know, I mean, can you imagine someone walking up to you and saying something like that to you? You think they're off their rocker, man. You know, and so a lot of times it's good for us to just remain. You know, I pursued my wife for 2 years. You know, and she doesn't think I did, but I was kind of, you know, admiring her from afar. You know, 2 years. I tell you, it was tough. I only saw her once a week, right? And that was on Sunday. You know, and every week, because I wanted to get to know her, obviously, I would wait for an opportune time. But she was so popular, people were always around her. And I could barely, you know, spend just even that little time where I got a little one-on-one action, right? And it just wasn't happening. But he spoke to me very specifically. He said, don't do anything. And what I heard God say was simply that he was forming her right now. You know, he was doing something. I mean, Sam, you can get in the picture and stuff, and because you're a leader and you can do all the things, but I want to grow her apart from you, that when you do come together, that she's going to be a full person, a whole person. And I said, okay, God, I'm willing to wait if that's the case, right? And so you got to be aware of guidance, right? You know, and don't speak until the fullness of that revelation or until God gives you permission to do so. You know, I'm going to be very honest right now. There are some things, and I'm not trying to put a carrot over your head or something, but there are some things that God has spoken to me about many of you at church, but I just do not have permission to share those things yet. You know, they're not bad things, so don't worry, right? You know, well, there's a few bad things, but we'll get to that later on. You know, but, you know, and God is shared, not because I'm special, nothing like that, because I just have a relation with him. This is just what happens when you have a relation with someone. You know, but I know that God has not shared with me the permission to share these things with some of you sitting here at church. You know, and so what I do is I just pray from behind the scenes. You know, and I'm just basically praying these words through. You know, and that's just our job. And there's probably many of you that you have things that God has spoken to you about, but they're just kind of on the shelf, they're on hold. But when God gives you permission, right, it's going to come like a rushing wind. Right? And so we need to have discernment in this way, right? That we don't talk about our guidance until God gives us permission to do so, right? Number four, so we call the wise men principle, right? Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Says, this is the third time I'm coming to you. Every fact is to be confirmed by the testimony of two or three witnesses. Right? You know, the wise men, remember when Jesus was a baby? The wise men actually individually saw the star and were led together to come to see this child. You know, and so, you know, just like the wise men, right, when they individually follow the star, like in doing so, they were all led to the same Christ. So God would also often use two or more spiritually sensitive people to confirm what he is telling you, right? Again, for confirmation. You know, there have been times at church or, you know, things in leadership, you know, outside, you know, before, you know, I came to Solomon's Porch, that we're really praying for something and we're really, you know, really crying out to God and something. We really need a decision or make a decision. You know, and we decided that we're not going to move until we have, right, a unanimous decision. In other words, that God has spoken to each of us the same thing, and then we're going to move forward. You know, and if not, then we're going to continue to pray and continue to seek God until we come to that place. You know, this is the wise men principle. You know, I mean, you got to understand, if it's God's will, God is speaking to other people about his will. You know, God's not just speaking to one person. God's speaking to many people about what God is doing, what he's doing on earth. And so he'll use other people individually to come to this place to bring confirmation in your life. This kind of stuff happens all the time. You know, one of the things that we learned, you know, actually years ago, I was actually at the Olympics in 96. You know, and I was with a YWAM organization called King's Kids. You know, and when we were there at the Olympics, you know, we were trying to figure out, you know, what we're going to do as a team. And so we would all get together at King's Kids, you know, and pray together. And it was amazing, these little kids. And God was speaking to them. You know, and they were sharing all these things. And I was just so amazed. You know, and there was so much confirmation. You know, and sometimes what happened was God would show like one piece of the puzzle, and then God would share with someone else another piece of the puzzle, another piece. You know, it would all come together, and it was just so shocking to see how God, you know, really would confirm through two or three witnesses, and in this case, about 10 witnesses of what God was going to do, because you'll speak to other people about things. You know, and so, you know, if you're looking for a decision, you really need to hear God on something, use this wise men principle. You know, wait for confirmation, and he will confirm the word in our life. You know, I mean, you'll be so surprised, you know, of how this is going to happen to you. Right? So this is wise man principle. Number five. Again, beware of counterfeits. Beware of counterfeits. Right? Satan has a counterfeit for everything of God that is possible for him to copy. Beware of counterfeits. Turn to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, verse 9. Acts chapter 8, this is Philip in Samaria. Acts chapter 8, verse 9. It says, now there was a certain man named Simon who was formerly was practicing magic in the city and astonishing the people of Samaria, claiming to be someone great. And they all, from smallest to greatest, were giving attention to him, saying, this man is what is called the great power of God. And they were giving him attention because he had for a long time astonished them with his magic arts. This is counterfeit. You got to understand, you know, psychics, palm, you know, readers, fortune tellers, they're real. You know, it's not some kind of gimmick or something. There is counterfeit power in the world. You know, but it's seductive power. The only real power, right, is really what comes from the Lord. You know, and to me, it's amazing for me to see how, you know, Christians don't believe God speaks to people, but they read their horoscopes. You know what I mean? Christians, you know, go to palm readers and fortune tellers and all these things, and yet they totally, you know, invalidate that God speaks to his people. See, God is the original. Only God is the creator. Everything else is a counterfeit, right? That's what the enemy does. Enemy can only counterfeit, right, what is the real thing. And the real thing exists. God speaks to his people. And so the enemy is going to come with a counterfeit of that. You know, when we talk about hearing God's voice in these things, what's the counterfeit of that? It's palm readers, psychics, you know, I mean, all these things. I mean, you got to be very, very aware of these things, right? This is, you know, operating in the realm of demonic power. And the enemy has power. Don't be deceived of that. You know, the enemy does have power, and he has a power, right, in some way to counterfeit what God is doing. You know, counterfeit guidance, you know, comes from Ouija boards. You know, have you ever done that? I remember doing that as a little kid. You know, if the Ouija board was right, you know, I'd be marrying some other, you know, girl. I remember I did that one time. The girl had a really long name. You know, that's the only thing I remember. Right? But that's what we call counterfeit guidance, you know. Seances, you know, fortune telling, astrology. This is all demonic power. You know, and so if you regularly go to a palm reader, man, you know, because this is a danger in that, right? There's a couple of dangers, but this is one of the dangers in that. You're opening yourself up to the demonic realm. You know, when you give that palm over, you know, or when you go pay that money, you know, for the crystal ball or whatever things you do, or, you know, you have the Chinese, you know, and those sticks come up or whatever. As soon as you do that, yes, it's just an act. But when you operate in that act, what you're doing is you're opening yourself up to demonic power. You know, and you know, John Wimber, right, he would basically say that it's like asking for air traffic controllers to say, okay, demons, line up, here it is. Come this way, open, right? It's the open door, come on in, right? That's basically what happens. You know, and so, you know, another danger of those things, actually, you know, really, you know, the whole New Age movement, all these things, you know, the danger is it makes Christians afraid of power, right? Because now Christians are like, oh, if I, you know, operate in power, am I going to get a demon? You know, are these things going to happen? And Christians, we should not be afraid of power. We operate in power. Dunamis, it is the power of God, right, for salvation, right? It's the dynamite of God in our life. And so we understand that God operates in power, but there's an enemy that's going to try to deceive us. You know, and so I'm really, if you're involved in fortune telling, if you're involved in all kinds, I know as Koreans, you know, we have, you know, people go to fortune tellers all the time. You know, my brother got into a huge fight, you know, when he asked his wife to marry him because my sister-in-law's parents were not Christians, and they wanted him to go see a fortune teller to see if their birth dates lined up. You know, Koreans do that, right? It's kind of your birth date. It's the moon that you're born under and your animal, you know, and all these things. And they got to match together or, you know, forget it. And so my brother got into a huge argument, you know, because he's a Christian. I'm not going to do this thing. You know, I mean, that, not, you know, this the horoscope doesn't tell me if your daughter's right for me or not. God tells me if your daughter's right for me or not. You know, and it was a huge battle for a long time. And some of you guys are going to have to battle because some of our families are really into these kind of things. But it's worth the fight, man. Right? Because you don't want to open yourself up to a lot of demonic power. You know, I mean, that's the last thing that you want to operate in your life. You know, and so if you're into that kind of stuff, throw that stuff away. You know, like an axe, you know, they came and burned all these things and all these magic arts. You know, and so just get rid of, you know, throw away the business card of your astrologer or, you know, wherever your holy man or whatever that thing you do. And just get rid of that stuff, man. It's just not good for you. You know, later on, we'll talk a little bit more about the danger in that, you know. But really, it's this counterfeit guidance is really going to mess you up. So don't get involved with this kind of things. And I mean, really, I mean, there's power there. You know, the guidance of the Holy Spirit leads you closer to Jesus and into true freedom. The guidance of Satan leads you away from God into bondage. You know, I was talking with a girl, you know, just a little while ago that really operates, you know, does a lot of these things. And, you know, they just operate in fear. You know, she's telling me how just so angsty and anxious and, you know, and all these things. And God wants to for us to operate in freedom. You know, this is the question that you need to ask when it comes to these counterfeits. Does your leading follow principles of the Bible? Does your leading follow the principles of the Bible? That's the real question. Because the Holy Spirit never contradicts the Word of God. You know, there's a crazy phenomenon that happens in the United States. You know, and people that are not in happy marriages or they're, you know, all of a sudden they meet someone and they just get into their mind that I made a mistake. But this person, right, who's not their wife or their husband is the one that God wants me to marry. And so I should correct, you know, the mistake that I made in divorce, you know, and God's telling me I should divorce my wife and marry my secretary because this is the person that God has for me. You know, and I'm just thinking, you read the Bible lately? You know what the Bible says about divorce? You know what I mean? And I mean, give me a break. You know, are you telling me that God's telling you to divorce? God's telling you to invalidate His word so you can follow along His will? I mean, is that the most ridiculous thing you've ever heard? You know, but I've heard this myself a few times. I mean, I thought it was just some kind of anecdote, right? But I mean, I've heard people say these kind of things. You know, they would violate God's word thinking they were following God. No, man, it just doesn't work that way, right? And so you want to make a litmus test in this. Ask yourself, does your leading follow the principles of the Bible? You know, and then if there's no proof text or nothing in the Bible, does it contradict the character of God? You know what I mean? Does it contradict God's character? That's what we need to learn and understand. So beware of counterfeits. The last one, right? This is kind of, take this with a grain of salt, right? This is from Cunningham. He says, opposition of man is sometimes guidance from God. In other words, don't think that everyone has to agree with you, right, for this to be the Lord. Don't think that has to be such agreement everywhere around and surely this is God. Because a lot of times it doesn't work that way. A lot of times it's opposition, right, that really leads us into the path that God wants for us. Turn to Acts chapter 21. There's a great little nugget here in Acts chapter 21, the prophet Agabus. In Acts 21, let's go to verse 10. And as we were staying there for some days, a certain prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. And coming to us, he took Paul's belt and bound his own feet and hands and said, "This is what the Holy Spirit says. In this way, the Jews at Jerusalem will bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles." And when he heard this, we as well as the local residents began begging him not to go up to Jerusalem. Look what Paul says in verse 13. Then Paul answered, "What are you doing, weeping and breaking my heart? For I'm ready not only to be bound, but even to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." And he said, and since he would not be persuaded, we fell silent, remarking, "The Lord, the will of the Lord be done." And see what's happening? Agabus had a word from God. This was a true word from the Lord. Right? He bound, you know, Paul up with his belt. And the word of the Lord said that whoever owns this belt, he will be bound and just thrown in and given to the Gentiles. And that's exactly what happened to Paul. And all the people, when they heard this, what were they going, oh, no, no, Paul, don't go, and all these things. And they were crying and wailing. And Paul says, what are you doing? Why are you breaking my heart with your weeping? I have to obey the Lord. See, sometimes when we try to hear God's voice, there may be people with good intentions that may come against you, you know, and but you got to hear from the Lord, man. You know what I mean? I mean, you got to go for it in God and things. And there may be instances in your life where you're really chugging along with God, and invariably people will come up and try to prevent you from walking in God's will, you know, but you got to just continue on in this thing. You know, you got to just keep fighting that fight. You know, opposition sometimes, right, is guidance from God. You know, we need to recognize that. Because sometimes, you know, we can have this idea as Christians that everything is hunky-dory. I need agreement from everyone around me, and then I'll follow the Lord. And sometimes it's actually the disagreement that opens the back door of what God wants in our life. Sometimes it works. I'm not saying all the time. But sometimes it works that way. And of course, we would love everyone to agree. We would love all these things, you know. But ultimately, like these people said, you know, after they saw the conviction of Paul, they said, let the will of the Lord be done. And they put their emotions on check. You know, and sometimes it's going to be a fight, right, to do what God's called us to do. Sometimes people will come in opposition. Sometimes your parents will come into opposition. You know, and there is a fine line, church. Right? I mean, there is an incredible, gracious way of honoring your parents while disobeying them. Listen very, let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Because the scripture says, honor your mother and father. Sometimes we will disobey our parents. You know, I mean, you know, they may not be hearing from the Lord. They may not be Christian, you know, all these things. But invariably, we're always called to honor them. Right? It's a heart issue. It's a heart issue. You know, how can you honor your parents while disobeying them? And a lot of times it's with the heart. You know, it's being extremely gracious. It's being humble. You know, it's not like, well, that's what God says, so I don't care what you say. I'm doing it. Right? That's not really honoring. You know what I mean? You know, but there is a way, and sometimes it may happen. You know, things will happen in our life. You know, rebellion, listen very clearly, is never of God. But sometimes he asks you to step away from your elders in a way that's not rebellion, but maybe a part of his plan. You know, and so we always operate in grace. We always operate in humility. You know, the important thing for us, right, is in this place is to deal with what we call yieldedness, that we yield, right? Trust that he will show you your heart the difference or what that means. You know, I mean, I wish I can go on and on this, but we need to continue on here. All right, hearing the voice of the Lord is a powerful tool in ministry, right? It's a powerful tool in your personal relationship with God. It is important not only to hear his voice, but also to use his guidance wisely. Every follower of the Lord Jesus Christ has a unique ministry, right? 1 Corinthians 12 tells us this, 1 Peter 4, 10 to 11, Romans 12, Ephesians 4. The more you seek to hear God's voice in detail, the more effective you'll be in your life. Doesn't that make sense? Right? The more you seek to hear God's voice in detail, the more effective you'll be in your own life. Now listen to this thing, right? The will of God is doing and saying the right thing in the right place with the right people at the right time in the right sequence under the right leadership using the right method with the right attitude of heart. I need Jesus. I know you're thinking, oh Lord, I need God. You know? Let's say it again. The will of God is doing and saying the right thing in the right place with the right people at the right time in the right sequence under the right leadership using the right method with the right attitude of heart. Right? Humility. We need the Lord in this thing, right? And that's the only way we're going to do the will of the Lord. Right? You know, the practice of hearing God's voice and, you know, these things, it becomes easier and easier, right? This is something that you can really develop. I mean, you really can. You know, it's like picking up the phone, right, and hearing your best friend. You know, you know the voice because you've heard it so much, right? So much in your life. You just recognize that. You know, if you look, if you want to do a study, look at Samuel, right? Remember when Samuel was a boy and the voice of the Lord came to Samuel? And he goes, he didn't know what was going on. Look at Samuel at the end of his life. He is so clear in what God's saying to him, right? Because it happens, right? It's practice makes perfect. You know, Samuel in his youth and his old age, he just grows and grows and grows. Amen?